Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
It's a little bit of a rainy day out there.
I know, isn't it
It kind
fantastic?
of is. It feels good.
I am so grateful for all this rain.
Yeah, it does feel nice. So how about that Truth and
I
Reconciliation
know, isn't that
Commission?
something?
It is so amazing.
It's a gift.
It is. And real revealing of truth is a very important step in healing.
Absolutely.
And every single Canadian needs to know about this. They need to read it. They need to understand. And then we can move forward.
And that's the only way we will all survive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a pretty significant part of our history that was buried for a very long time. And it's just about time that we all learned what it was all about and be able to all work together to somehow start to make it right, you know?
And I am reminded of Nelson Mandela and the Truth and Reconciliation process in South Africa. And here's a man who was treated worse than anyone could be treated, forced to dig his own grave. The prison guards made him dig his own grave. And he believed so strongly in truth and reconciliation, he rebuilt a nation, right? And we can rebuild too.
We
And that's
can.
what we have to do.
I know that we can.
Yes. But you know what's expensive?
What?
Rebuilding things.
We were just having this fiery conversation
Yes.
before the show, which is not even really entirely on topic today, but
No.
the whole idea of trying to restructure something that's been in place for
Yes.
decades,
Yes.
maybe even longer,
That's right.
very challenging.
So it today's topic is
The art of
the
giving.
art of giving.
Yes.
And you can't rebuild or find truth or reconcile without giving.
It's true.
Yeah. You know what else gives a lot? The trees.
The trees do give a
I know,
lot.
and that's why I'm grateful for the rain, because they need the rain and
Yeah.
we need the trees. So we do. When I was elected, one of my concerns was it might change my point of view about sort of my enthusiasm about and optimism about living here, you know, that it might color my perception. But
Yeah.
if anything, not at all.
Oh.
And when I was driving to work today, I was looking at all the trees, and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
We do. We live in an urban forest, and
Yeah.
trees keep us cool, and they're barriers to noise, and they prevent soil erosion, not to mention all the oxygen they provide. So
Yeah.
giving tapes many shapes
Yeah. I
and
just watched a
sizes.
deer eating my plum tree this
Oh, you
morning.
did?
Yeah,
Oh,
we actually
that's.
had this debate in our kitchen to decide if we were going to go out and actually try to scare it away. Because it's just so fun to watch it eat my plums.
Yeah. And I mean, we live in their environment,
We
right?
do.
They gave it up
We
for
have to
us.
share.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
Yeah. So
so.
that's the topic, the
Yeah.
art of giving. And for the first little bit, we're going to talk about what is giving. So, Tracy, what is giving to you?
Well, to me, and I talked to you about this before, when I first got out of university and had student loan debt up the eyeballs,
Yes.
I used to get a lot of calls, both from the University Alumni Association and from all sorts of other charities asking me to give money. And I said, I have a personal policy. I give my time, I don't give money. And some people didn't respond well to that,
No.
but some people did. Some people were respectful. But that was a choice that I had to make because I really had no cash to
Yes.
offer. But since then, and I would never call myself a member of the upper class,
No.
but since then, I have definitely been, I've educated myself about which important charities that I want to throw my support behind. And I've been very selective. And also, when I get asked for donations of artwork, I have a very specific list
Yes.
of organizations I'll support.
Yes.
And so, with my list, I go forth and I give, and I choose to do it that way.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your personal philosophy?
So my personal philosophy about giving, there's an expression in French that goes donner son surplus, ce n'est pas donner, faut donner son nécessaire. So giving what you have extra is not actually giving.
Oh.
It's only giving if it's necessary to you.
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. So I tend to, I mean, I think giving is very personal. Do I give a lot of money? No. But when I do give money, I don't give because I want something in return. So like if I give the gallery $20, I don't want you to throw my name up on the website. I don't do it for recognition. I prefer anonymous giving. And so it's not so much about how I give, it's how I don't like it. Like I'm not a fan of some tactics, because yes, I feel like it's important to me that tactics match intention. So if it's really money that you need, then please just ask for mm-hmm. money. Don't try and sell me a pie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because the product costs money too.
Yeah.
So we were talking about fundraising before.
Yeah.
Selling a chocolate bar, selling mm-hmm. a pie. So mm-hmm. a lot of that money goes to the producer of mm-hmm. the product mm-hmm. and not very much to the charity doing the work. Now, if you really believe in that charity, if that charity's purpose is important to you, you should give just the money.
Yes.
Forget the product.
So for me, giving is tied to things that matter to me. I mm-hmm. agree. And because I own a business, often our business will sponsor it. Events or donate books or that we feel are important to us, but I certainly don't do it for them. I guess I have to recognize that. Oh, I know how that feels. I've been there. I would want help too. So
And sponsorship, see, that's a whole other
thing
too.
I'm not a splashy giver.
No And I'd like to talk about that.
But some people like personal splashy givers.
I know. Well, you see, there's been a change, right? Because your identity mm-hmm. is caught up with how you give too. Mm-hmm. There's a donor identity and a volunteer identity. So where you choose to give your time helps define you. Mm-hmm. Where you choose to give your money helps mm-hmm. define you. Our personal identity used to be very much about, donor identity used to be about our personal views.
So yes.
For instance, I would give money to the Diabetes Association if my family was touched by diabetes.
Yes. Yes.
But now people tend to give where they want to be seen giving.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to be...
So it's aspirational. You want to be associated to that.
Yes.
Yes. Which explains why, you know, people will give millions of dollars. Right? So to foundations or... Mm-hmm. University hospitals or right? It's a very powerful force.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's really the big wealthy people out there, there's strings attached to their giving.
Yes, of course there are.
Like, okay, I'll give you this.
But I want on the building.
Name on the building, fine. And I want you to prioritize this research and this research.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Like, yeah, we don't hear much about that.
No, we don't, but there's mm-hmm. definitely strings. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a whole different ball of wax mm-hmm. when you get big like that, but... Yeah, and then our social identity is a whole other thing, both donor and volunteer.
Yeah. So I feel like there's giving and then there's contributing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I tend to give to charities and causes, but I also contribute to causes like, say, political causes. Or I don't feel like that's giving.
Yeah.
I feel that that's, I'm going to give you $100 because I believe in this cause or point of view, mm-hmm. but these are my expectations. I really think giving should be
here you go
mm-hmm. right? So when I lived in Vancouver, we would always have this conversation about, do you give money to the homeless guys or not?
Yeah.
And some people would say, well, they're just gonna go buy cigarettes and booze, why would I give them money for that? And I think, you know what, if that's what they need to get through the day, like
what's the difference?
You're sitting out here in the pouring rain, you're cold, you're wet, you're tired, you're hungry. I give you $20, you do what you want.
Yeah.
Because really, I feel better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then do you buy them food? Do you, right? So sometimes I would go to 7-Eleven and buy them a sandwich and a coffee, but mm-hmm. sometimes I would just give. It's just, you know.
And I know, because sometimes they can't eat what people give them.
Yes,
right? What if you're out there because you have mm-hmm. both mental and physical illnesses mm-hmm. that prevent you from just being able to function, right? Ulcers, I don't know, like you can't eat bread. So the guy, you give him a sandwich and he's...
Yeah,
like,
so if you can kind of unhook it from your personal point of view,
exactly.
then it's giving. If it's hooked to a personal point of view, I think it's contributing.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, this cause, I can get something out of this. Therefore, I'm prepared to put in my...
Yeah.
Like political donations.
And the strings.
It's not called political giving. It's called political contribution.
Yeah.
Can we count on your contribution?
Yeah. Because you're basically hoping for an end result.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas giving $20, you know, to help build the playground, you're not like, well, I'll give you money for your playground, but if my swing isn't in there...
my name isn't on that bar.
Yeah. There'll be trouble in the playground.
And then, but about the social identity, mm-hmm. that's the exact kind of thing that people will choose to give money to be associated with.
Yes.
If, like, maybe not the playground, but in an organization, I want to hang out with these kind of people. Mm-hmm. I give to that organization so that I can go to that gala, so I can go to that particular fundraiser, right? Like, there's a whole social thing that people are choosing.
It's true. And in fact, in upper echelons of society, that's their whole entire social life.
Yeah.
Is benefits and charities and balls. And,
yeah.
Oh, even I bet that would get like super boring after a while.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
You would be addicted to it because, first of all, like, well, you know what it's like to plan something. Well, yes. I don't know. I guess if you're just attending, it might get boring after a while.
Boring. Chit-chat.
But to plan things and to be creative.
Ooh, that's the fun part.
Yeah. I think that for some, this is probably very judgmental, but for some of the bored housewives, right, yes. that are really looking for something to do because they don't need to have a job or career. They want to put their passion somewhere. So that's what they do, right? They build these great big fundraisers and have fun.
And they might have an overinflated sense of their importance.
Yeah.
Because really it's the people who do the work, not the people who organize the benefits.
Yeah.
It's the people who do the work that are the most important.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But without the little, it's like the middleman, right?
Yes.
Sometimes the middleman's unnecessary.
Well, you need some sort of glamorous chair person.
Yeah, for some people, they need the middleman to get there. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a form of leadership too. You know, like Heather Reisman from Chapters Indigo. Mm-hmm. I mean, she does incredible charity work.
Yeah.
But she does a lot of it by hosting gala events and, mm-hmm. And she uses her profile. So that's another thing you can give is you can give your name to a cause.
And just like, I mean, you know how when Celine Dion got married and it was like $10 million wedding something.
Yes.
I remember thinking, you know what? The reason that it cost $10 million is because she hired caterers and designers and decorators. Yes. And right. So I'm thinking, hey, she created employment. Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of thing for these big fundraisers. Yeah. They hire caterers. They hire florists. They hire all
DJs,
the people. DJs.
They rent tablecloths. Oh, yeah. It's very
powerful. Creating employment. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not as bad as.
No, maybe it's not as bad. But I mean, so what is giving? Giving is money.
Giving is mostly money.
It can be expertise.
Yes.
Right?
Well, your time. Because your time can be including your talent, your expertise, mm-hmm. your knowledge, your background, your experience.
Yeah. So sometimes it's just time. Yeah. Just come and serve soup.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be a soup
sometimes
expert.
Sometimes it's unskilled labor.
Yes. And that's important too. Just, you know, boots on the ground kind of thing. Yeah. But sometimes it's expertise too.
Like if you have more valuable.
Board member who's an accountant, a lawyer, a designer, an arts a cultural worker. I mean, those are all.
Well, that's why boards are becoming
very important.
Way more selective about their directors, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're actually creating positions. And then when that position becomes empty, they recruit. They don't just throw it open at the AGM. Okay, who wants to be on the board? Mm-hmm. Now they're like, no, we need a skilled marketing person. So that's where we're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think charities and nonprofits have to plan their really be really careful about what they need and who they're going to ask it from. But also as individuals and businesses, we have to have our own strategy.
Yes.
Like, I've worked with some businesses and seriously, they get like 2 letters a week.
Yeah.
Can you give to this? Can you give to, and it's lovely. You know, people love to give. It feels good. And we'll talk about that. Why give in a bit, but also those businesses need to say, okay, for 2015, the focus of our giving is children's sports or seniors and the arts or, you know, like pick a thing and really make an impact.
Yes. Well,
right. So why give a 25 cents to 8 people when you give someone $2?
Yeah.
Like buy a whole cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
And actually the impact of direct giving is something I want to talk about later too.
Okay. It's a very important topic.
It is because
things don't happen by themselves.
Well, no. I mean, in Canada, charitable giving is a $10.6 billion industry.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's a lot of zeros. Yeah. We are very generous. It averages out to $446 per person per year that we give in money. There is not a measurement about the time.
No.
There's always efforts to try to gather data about the number of hours you get volunteers out for. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
No.
I think the CMA, the Canadian Museums Association, did a study on volunteer hours. Maybe BCMA did, too. Because I remember participating in surveys about hours. Oh, it was so hard to figure out how many hours people give to the gallery and to the Arts Council programs. Yeah. Ugh.
And we're giving hours right now.
We are.
You're giving an hour. I'm giving an hour. Yeah. Eric's giving an hour.
Yeah.
So this show is Three times three, at least 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So giving your time is, yeah, is actually...
But doesn't feel like a sacrifice.
It doesn't. Say, it's though. Direct giving.
Yes.
Right? Because when you talk about direct giving, when it comes to donors, yes, that's a, you know, there's a very specific kind of way that happens. But for volunteering, that's pretty much like you can't get any more direct than that.
No.
Right? You're doing it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm contributing. This is a cause because I enjoy public radio and I like talking about art and design.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm doing without because of this. So,
so
maybe
this
it's not
giving,
it's contributing, right?
Okay. Well, we're contributing.
Yes.
Significantly
to a cause that's
directly
important,
to something that matters to us.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. There we go. We've identified the type of
because
offering.
There's different ways that, you know, so this 15-minute segment is about how to give.
Yes.
Right? So you can give directly, mm-hmm, right? Here's $100. Go.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, those people, like, who did it? Oh, Van City? Was it Van City? Oh, no, I'm misappropriating. A credit union type institution in Vancouver had a giveaway. And what they, so it was promotional, but they were giving away little plastic pee banks, and some of them had $10, but some of them had $1,000.
Wow.
And there were people lined up down the street.
Oh.
So that was just like, here you go.
Here. Yeah.
Because we're all worthy of some charitable offerings at some point, right?
I would think. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what presents are.
Yeah.
Right? Here's my charitable offering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm off track here. But
no,
so
it's
there's
okay.
Giving directly.
Giving directly. Now, this is something that, I mean, you really have to think about this, because giving directly can mean going direct to your organization that you believe in, mm-hmm, and saying, here's $50, mm-hmm, here's $500, here's, mm-hmm, whatever. And then you let that organization decide what best needs to be done with,
yes,
that, right? They have their own priorities. So that's pretty direct, but it's not as direct as people are getting now.
Right.
People are getting even more direct.
Yes. This money will go to X.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And we learned that with the Mosaic Project.
Yes.
There were people that were coming along and seeing what we were doing at the plaza there and saying, okay, now where do I donate for, mm-hmm, this? And that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So their money went specifically.
It's critical, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically to pay for all the parts of that mosaic.
Yes.
And in fact, I want to point out that personal donations, like individual people who donated money, collectively gave more than any, like,
any
the group
other structured organization.
Yeah. That the entire structured organization offerings, yeah, right? Like if you split the contributions half and half,
yeah,
individual gifts came up to more than what the,
yeah,
organizations.
Fantastic.
Get. Yeah.
Because you were connecting to something. Oh yeah. People were just coming in and writing out checks for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And they put in the little reference line, mosaic.
Yeah. And right? Some
mosaic,
people.
Like
mosaic.
Like
I had one lady
would
who
just show
maybe,
up. Money would just show up.
Yeah. And yeah, she just wanted to give money, especially for the grouting.
Yes.
I had one person.
Oh, wow. That is
giving
specific.
Money. Well, because they asked what parts haven't been paid for yet.
Yes.
And then the resealing, right? We
yes.
had one, you know, and you know, all or not resealing, grout sealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these different parts of that project that were coming later that, yeah, we didn't have a clue where that money was
no.
coming from yet. It's been so long since we'd been raising money and trying to get that far. I figured it would come, right?
Yeah.
We'd get there,
mm-hmm,
and maybe it would wait a year before we actually got it sealed, but it didn't.
No.
Because, you know, because once you're doing it and people see what's happening and they say, I want this money to go to that.
Yes.
Then it happens.
Yeah. Then it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that that's happening more and more.
Yes.
And it certainly happens at the gallery. People come in and they want to sponsor a specific exhibition.
Yes.
Right. Something that's very
so that's like
exciting
active,
to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, and WOW is another one, right? I want to sponsor this performance. These guys I really like. So
I really
I
like
Cod
Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know, honestly, WOW is the best deal going.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
So how much is it to sponsor?
$250.
Ugh.
I know.
You get your name on, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
What you get for $250.
Yeah.
All the spots are taken, but there's still next year.
There's always next year.
And you know how you know it's good value?
How?
I mean, I know people do it out of the kindness of their heart, but the risk, you know, there's reciprocity in everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that where human beings would not function were it not for reciprocity.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you got fire, I got wood. Let's do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because every year it's the same donors.
Yeah.
They know it has value.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and for some of them,
it's not like, well, I'll do it this year, but next year I'm going to put my money somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're like, I want to do that again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there are some businesses that sponsor that I don't think they need to advertise.
Right? Of course they don't.
They just believe in live music.
Yes.
And they believe in an event like that that offers an awesome gathering opportunity.
Well, for some businesses, it's a giving, and for some businesses, it's contributing to a cause.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
I really think that's important.
So anyway, that's the kind of direct giving that we experience all the time.
And then there's what I would call indirect giving.
Yeah.
Things like setting aside a pot of money through a foundation into what's called an endowment fund.
Mm-hmm.
And that money sits there in perpetuity, which means forever, which kind of blows my mind sometimes when I think about that word, perpetuity.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the interest off those funds go to specific causes.
Well, if you have your own endowment fund, it always goes to your organization.
Yeah.
But you can give to different kinds of funds within the foundation that go to certain categories.
Yes.
Like every year for a children's program, every year for environmental work, you know, things like that.
And that's very powerful money.
It is, because it's not earmarked for any one thing. You can choose. If you have a massive project that year that you can't quite get enough money for, you use that money for that. If you just need to pay the hydro bill, you use that money for that.
Exactly. Right?
Like, it's really freedom money.
It's unbelievable. So
it's so important.
There are some very large organizations in BC that are powered by their endowment funds.
Mm-hmm.
And UBC is one of them.
Really?
It has huge endowment.
Wow.
Pays for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. The United Way in Vancouver has a huge endowment fund that pays for more, I think most, like 98% of the administrative costs are covered.
Holy, you know, okay, that's a bit scary, because I remember what happened in 2009 when most foundations didn't pay out for a year.
Yeah.
Remember the National Ballet, who uses, like, their endowment fund was like providing them 40% of their operating or something.
Yowza.
And so they didn't get paid that year. They didn't get any interest because of the crash. So
it's true. And so it's, you know, we almost have an endowment. We almost need to put our endowment fund interest into an endowment fund just to protect ourselves. But so the gallery has an endowment fund.
Yes. Both the gallery and the Arts Council, when they were a separate organization, started an endowment fund.
Yeah.
So brilliant. So forward thinking of, again, BFF Clyde Tucker, who, you know, was very.
And thank goodness that endowment fund saved us, I think.
It did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, there was
no word of a lie. We wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an amazing opportunity the provincial government offered, the BC Arts Renaissance Fund, 3 years in a row, where whatever money you raised for your endowment fund, they would match.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few people within the gallery, like Gabby Klein, was instrumental, big letter writing campaign.
Absolutely.
Everybody on the board went to everybody that they knew and said, we've got this opportunity for matching money. We went bananas on it. And the Arts Council did the same. And that both those endowment funds grew like.
Whoosh. Yeah. And it started because someone bequeathed a significant donation.
Mary Coles Mitchell.
Yeah.
It all started because of her and because of the board actually making a long-term decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big thing when you're talking about giving to an organization, making sure that it's not just about the right now, right? That they're thinking about the long-term. Those board members had a big struggle to decide. They were in a situation where they could have just paid the bills.
Yes.
With that money.
And it would have been long gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And instead they made a long-term decision.
Yes. And now it's almost, is it a half million combined or
400,000? Well, all together, with both the arts, because then Blair Borden did the same thing with the Arts Council, but she was still here. But she knew, I think it was her third or fourth go-round with cancer. So she was kind of preparing her life to make sure that everybody that she loved and cared for was taken care of. And she started the Arts Council Endowment Fund with $10,000. So between the two boards, yes, they have managed to build endowment funds that now combine over $400,000.
Yes, and we get $30,000.
No,
20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Pays a lot of hydro bills.
It sure does. And on programs, like we use it for our children's programs and we use it, some for exhibition programs, some for the public art program. Like, it goes to lots of different things, but it makes sure we know that that money's there.
Yes.
That those programs will stay there. If anything were to go a little wonky, we know those are protected.
It's really such a powerful tool. So you can give indirectly through endowment funds, You can give in life, you can give in death.
Yes.
A lot of people choose the latter.
Mm-hmm. And then, so here's, let's go into this other weird forms of giving, like that checkout line giving.
Oh yeah, charity checkout.
Charity
checkout.
You can give
at the checkout. I think that's losing favor though.
Well,
because
I hope
they're
so,
misappropriating again. They're like, look, this large drugstore, which shall remain nameless, gave $5 million to a children's charity. No, actually, that's the largest drugstore's customers.
Yeah, it was not the largest drugstore. Mm-hmm, it was mm-hmm. their people who'd been asked at every single checkout.
Mm-hmm. And then they...
Would you like to give a dollar for the blah, blah?
And then they use that to curry favors when they're lobbying levels.
Ooh, like, I don't like
I know,
that.
I just feel like it's not...
And I don't like being guilt-tripped, thank you
no,
very
no,
much.
No,
like,
no,
it
no.
is one of those things that as soon as you start guilting me, like, I don't care what I look like in front of the next three people in line. If I don't believe in that particular cause, if it's not one of my list,
no,
thank you. And I feel really, I do feel weird saying, no, I'm not going to give $2
well,
bucks
Well, I
to
mean,
the...
and there's different kinds. Like, right now at Askew's, they have little home handmade tins, and it's for... the Second Harvest Food Bank, and it's their goal is for everyone in town to give a loonie, or maybe it's a toonie. Well, I don't mind those because they're really authentic and genuine, and you can see their volunteers have been collecting little candy things and putting the holes in the top and putting a little sign.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's the whole, you know,
that
super
it goes
corporate-y.
Well, that it goes onto your checkout thing,
like
into your bill, and then you use your debit card, and it's actually in there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
when
See,
you're giving a loonie and a tin, that's separate.
It's totally separate.
Yeah,
but just you know, you have to be mindful of that. And then, so you can give directly, you can give indirectly, you can give money, but you can also give time, and time is important. You can give expertise, which we talked about, and you can give things.
Yes, it's good to donate things.
You can donate things.
Yeah.
And you can say, you need a washing machine? I got a washing machine. Would you like, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. And that could be direct giving too, right?
Absolutely.
Like you just, it's okay to not put everything on Kijiji.
You can give cars. Like you can give, you know, like I love that. I think it's in the States, but for the Kidney Foundation, you can give your car. You get a charitable tax receipt. They take the car, they recycle it, take it apart.
Yeah.
And then the money goes to the Kidney Foundation. It's very practical.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so they're
giving
dealing
things
with stuff.
Like bringing a bag full of clothes to the thrift store isn't necessarily giving, but it is contributing to a cause.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think there's a difference.
Yeah. And actually, before we go to the break, I want to find out, how do you feel about your kids going to birthday parties where the invitation says, in lieu of gifts, please make a donation to, you know, blah, blah, the Haiti Relief Fund or the SPCA, or how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a lovely gesture. And I admire kids who have that kind of compassion in them. But I also know kids love. It's important to teach children the joy of giving. And the best way to do that is to let them work it out amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
You give the presents, and then the kids get loot bags. And I mean, it's not all about the stuff. It's about, I mean, you go to a birthday party and you watch the kids. When they open those presents, I don't know who's excited, the kid who's getting the present or the kid who gave the present. And right there, their neurons are getting that total, oh my gosh, this feels so good.
It feels good to give.
You don't get that when you give the toonie.
That's true.
I just feel a tiny bit manipulated.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I like that.
I would much rather give them a handmade
give them the
card.
Joy.
Give them the joy of giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about. Why should I give, Tracy? I pay my taxes. Why should I give?
Oh, you're just being like that because you know we're having this governmental sort of discussion.
Right?
Yes.
Well, and I would be lying if I didn't have that thought.
Yeah.
I pay school taxes. Why do you need to sell me pie? You know, like, why do I have to give?
I know. It's because.
And I'm being perfectly honest. I'm like, I'm exposing my inner critic.
I know.
Well, so why? Why do we have to give?
Well, it.
Why do we
because
give?
Because we can't. I mean, the paying the taxes thing, I'm taking a Louise stance on this. Paying taxes doesn't necessarily mean we are trusting the government to fulfill all of the things that we believe are important in society.
Right.
And I'd love to be able to trust the government to fulfill all the needs of every individual in our society. Unfortunately, it's not.
That's not the way, you know, and I mean, I think it's, so the conversation about giving is also about challenging assumptions, right? Some people really like to make those decisions by themselves.
Yes.
Right? So I'll admit sometimes when the hospital foundation or, and I don't want to pick on the hospital foundation, that's not fair, but they need a new piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, why isn't that an Interior Health capital plan? Right?
Yeah.
But the truth is, that's not how it works. You know, we are it's not a top-down structure. It's a bottom-up structure. We're a society, and we have norms and expectations and budgets and scarcity. And you know what? Sometimes we just have to do it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, one of the ways that a community shows what's important to it is by how much it gives
to
a
cause. How much it gives, yes.
An organization that can show that their community is giving time and money to a specific project can use that to leverage actual grant money.
Yeah. Yes.
From governments or from other funding bodies like foundations.
So government grants, like granting is a form of giving or contributing, depending on how you want to look at it. But
unless you show the investment from your community,
that's right.
They don't see it as being valuable.
So why give is sometimes there's just practicalities to it. Mm-hmm. Look, if we need this, we all have to pitch in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or I'll buy the MRI and I'll charge you $1,000 to use it. Right. So that's other practical, or I'll build that road and then I'll put a toll on it.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it's practical to put everybody's resources, divvy it out, make it work.
And believe me, I would love it if we could just pay more taxes and everything would be taken care of.
Yes.
I would love it.
Yeah.
But your point is very well taken, that you want to be able to make the choice, mm-hmm. because my priorities might not be the government of the time's mm-hmm. priorities. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm prioritizing arts, culture, environment, climate, you know, all of those things, you're right.
Yeah. And then the government, you elect a government, or a government is elected who's all about sports and rodeos, you know,
I know
you're out of luck, my
friend.
And I don't mean that like facetiously.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And so some governments, their philosophy is, we'll collect the money. The communities can decide what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, to some extent, I feel like that's a good thing. I feel like we're in a better position, you know, and that's why foundations
are
so important, because they're on the ground. They understand.
Yep. And every community gets to be able to identify its needs and fill its gaps.
Yeah, and when Shoeshop Community Foundation did their sort of regional scan, they've identified mm-hmm. where the needs are.
Yeah.
And of course they would know that better than a provincial organization or a national one.
But, right.
And then the other part of why give is pretty simple, really.
It feels good.
Oh, it does. Okay. And it's good for you.
Scientific
it's
proof.
It's like broccoli.
Yeah. With cheese
With
sauce.
With cheese, yeah.
Okay, scientific fact.
Yes.
This is a Thoits and Hewitt study, 2001. People who give time, so your volunteers, and money, people who are donors, tend to report greater sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? Mm. Those who have greater well-being invest more hours in volunteering and donate more money.
Wow.
So it's a bi-directional
I know.
Thing.
It's momentum.
Yeah.
And again, there's the reciprocity thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have a giving memory. You know, we've talked about this before, like you have cooking memories and muscle memory. And,
yeah.
And I think that when you commit an act of kindness, it imprints on your psyche. Mm-hmm. And it imprints on the psyche of those who were there when you did it.
Mm.
And it lasts forever.
Yeah.
Like I know, apparently, this is what I hear. Two quick things. When my mom was little, it was during the Depression. They had a lot of kids in that household. Things would just show up at the doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I heard that story and I swear it's like on my DNA
it's
now.
It's in you now.
It is. And I have done that very thing.
Yeah.
Put things on, like not literally on the doorstep, but made arrangements for things to be on doorsteps. Completely anonymously. Yeah. Well, not anymore, but you know, I don't know the people and they don't know me.
Yeah.
And then my grandma used to give mittens to the neighborhood kids who didn't have any.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, imprinted on me. And I swear you carry that with you everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a mark on your, it's like a I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a birthmark.
Yeah. And, did you know that stories
you have to give it back. You can't help it. Yeah.
Did you know that stories like that actually improve your self-esteem?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your family stories, and actually whether they're good or bad, the fact that you have family stories, the fact that your grandmother made mittens for the kids in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. did it, all of those things actually improve our sense of you know, being loved and being valued.
Yeah.
And so if those things are also associated with kindness and giving, imagine what that does for
you. Yes. And how it carries. So this, we're talking like three generations ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so I know that I'm making decisions based on those stories,
mm-hmm.
and you know, my parents did lovely. I'm leaving my parents totally out of this. They also did lovely, kind things for no reason whatsoever. But and I think we have a moral obligation to imprint this message on our children and our neighbors.
So it's important for everybody to think about what message are they giving right now to their kids or grandkids about giving.
Yes.
Like, is it visible?
Yes.
And is it selfless?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you saying, oh, I'm going to write this check, but I want my name up on that board.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this because I'm going to be able to hobnob with so-and-so. I'm going to
be famous.
Yeah. So how does that look to your children and grandchildren?
No, and they, you know, they understand. And to involve children in the giving process, which is why I'm okay with the birthday party thing. And I'm okay with, but I'm like, if you're going to get presents, then we're going to go and make some loot bags that are meaningful as a thank you for your friends coming to your party.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally personally think we have the whole birthday thing upside down.
Yeah.
I think when it's your birthday, you should host the party and invite people over and give them gifts for being your friend for another year.
Aww.
Yeah. Like, here's for putting up with me for another year. Have a cupcake.
But fair enough. I like
it. But you know, so there is practical reasons.
Yeah.
You know, why give? Practical reasons. The government can't do everything. The private sector can't do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the society. We're in the best position to decide what needs to go where.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's the emotional, physical well-being, you know, the dopamine.
Yeah. And then
The imprinting the youngins, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then going back into the arts and culture specifically sector, this is probably not unlike environmental causes and sports and all kinds of other things that are bigger, you know, on the charities list, although not as big as health and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Religious institutions and health organizations are still the number one receivers.
Well, they're better at it.
Well, they get more money.
Yeah.
I mean, they just get the most money. And so the people on the bottom are arts and culture, sports and environment, but whatever. Anyway, so, but the thing is, those sectors are changing.
Yes.
Those nonprofits are changing the way they're doing things. They're small sail ships, whereas opposed to the governments being the giant, you know, cruise ships. We can change directions easier to respond to the needs of the community.
And I think we're seeing that happen.
We are.
Yes.
And
so the small sailboats are starting to turn around.
We are, well, we've been, we
well,
can
not
follow.
Starting to, but
we're going, man.
I think the big ships are starting to go, hey, look, what are those little sailboats
doing? That's what's
that
happening.
That seems to be working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so arts and culture funding bodies, this is what I'm noticing, have been changing the way they fund to respond to the way that the smaller organizations are functioning.
Yes.
And it's much more project-based, much more engagement-based,
and
way more about the non-artists.
Yes.
Far more about
Well, no, as if the arts are only about artists. Why bother?
Exactly. Right. But I mean, it used to be, right? It used to be about serving your artist members. So whether you're a literature group, or you're a physiology, a dancer, music, right? It was all about your people, your members, serving your members. And that's another beautiful Clyde Tucker legacy that he left us with when he, when he so abruptly moved to Victoria to give them his gift of knowledge. But when he was here, he did so many wonderful things. And one of his wonderful things was sharing with the Arts Council like 10 years ago now, how to engage your entire community and kind of take the focus away from your members. Your members love you. They'll be there as long as you're providing them with the kinds of needs that they have. It's great. But let's think about the whole community. So that shift happened, and that's been going on with lots of different organizations where they see, okay, it's not just about us and like the tennis club, just about our tennis players, right?
No,
like, what are we doing for the whole community?
Exactly.
And now, but the funding bodies are directing their grants for those kinds of engagement projects.
Which brings up a good point. Like we started, you know, the 15 minute. I pay taxes. Why should they be granting arts and sports? Why do they get money?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why? Because we actually are providing a service to the entire community.
I know. Exactly. And what was it that Winston Churchill said when he asked to cut the arts into bolster the war effort?
Yeah. Divert funding from arts to war effort.
Yeah.
And he said, well, then what are we fighting
for? What are we fighting for? Mm-hmm. Right? And so it is really critical.
It is.
Yeah.
It's our identity. It's our common story.
Mm-hmm.
It's our history.
Mm-hmm. And culture, again, isn't just arts. It's everything.
Culture is everything. It's
minor
food.
Hockey and yeah. swimming lessons and food yeah. and right?
Yeah. Our history.
Tattoos. It's
apple
everything.
Trees.
Apple trees. Yep. Trees. So yeah. many trees. Urban forest. That's my new word. My new favorite word. Well, it's two words, I guess. But yeah, and so often I'll hear people say, well, what would I pay for that for? If it can't make money on its own.
Oh, see, the business model. That always drives me crazy.
Hey, I got news for you. There's a lot of businesses whose business model relies on.
What?
Well.
Charitable giving?
Well, corporate giving, corporate welfare, corporate, right?
Yeah.
So not, I mean, again, who paid for the roads?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who put in the power grid? Who, right?
Yeah.
So we always use that business model, but it's a very, very, it's way too simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
No, I disagree.
That's a whole different topic.
Yes, it is a whole different topic.
Yeah. Okay.
But it does relate to giving.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. giving because it's necessary. That's why we give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the why in terms of our topic today, mm-hmm. the why in the arts and culture community is really about making sure that our community feels entirely included
yes.
in what the culture of Salmon Arm is, mm-hmm. the culture of the shoe swap and the Canadian culture,
mm-hmm.
because we're all sharing the same
yes.
story. And this is all about strengthening us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's why.
That's why. That's and why you know give. What? There are foundations that are outside of our community who recognize the importance of what we're doing in this community. Mm-hmm. And that's really quite...
It's pretty exciting.
Remarkable.
Yeah. We just got a grant from the Kerner Foundation
yes.
towards the Cardiff Miller exhibition. That's pretty exciting to get a Vancouver grant. They recognize the importance of bringing such an enormous exhibition to a small community
yes.
like this.
And
the opportunity provides our
citizens.
It's
very humbling. I mean, they're just giving for giving. Right?
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think... Yeah.
Okay.
It's a beautiful gift. And we're so lucky.
We are mm-hmm. very fortunate and we have people who love us. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
And on the topic of giving.
I know. It was a gift, I tell you. I couldn't believe it. I woke up this morning, minding my own business, checking the Twitter feed, checking out the Facebook, and boom, there it was. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Really? Today of all days? The show that we talk about giving?
It's because we are on fire.
Yeah. Wow.
We always do this. We select a topic, yeah. we do our research, and then the morning of something happens.
I know. This is like huge serendipity. And it was really nice of them to time it to to our show.
Well, I know that they pay attention.
I should tweet them. Thanks for timing it to our show. Anyway, huge, huge news in charitable giving.
Okay. Give it up. I'm so excited.
Canada Council for the Arts has a new funding model.
Okay, I heard that they were going to do this, and I heard that we were supposed to wait for an announcement, but I don't know anything about this.
Well, they made the announcement this morning. So they're going from, get this, 156 programs to...
How many?
Six.
Six?
That's it. See, two.
156 programs to six.
It's so brave and so exciting, and I think it's going to reshape the arts community.
Talking about restructuring fast.
We're not panicking. Well, no, they decide... I guess they had... a round of consultations, and in January they made the decision, and now it's June,
mm-hmm.
and these things will take effect in 2017.
Okay.
So it's
okay, well,
pretty big. Okay.
Six programs.
So they only have six programs.
So
and
what?
The six programs are named Explore and Create.
Explore and Create.
Yes. Engage and Sustain.
Oh, yeah. See,
right?
Engagement.
See?
Yep.
Creating, knowing, and sharing Aboriginal arts.
Oh, yes.
Lovely. Renewing artistic practice.
Oh.
Arts across Canada and arts abroad.
Wow.
Bingo, bango, bongo. I love it.
Holy.
And I'm sure there are organizations right now freaking out. Like, what does this mean for my block funding? I can't get on without my block funding.
Yeah.
Some publishers can't even get on with block funding, but. What does this mean for Caravan? Like, there's only two organizations in the shoe shop that receive Canada Council funding. There might be writers. I don't know. That's more specific. But Caravan Farm Theater and Salmon Arm Roots and Blues.
Right.
I don't think they need to shake in their boots too much, but you know, it is changing.
Well, and I know because
and it
I've
is
been
in recognition of where the little sailboats are going. The big ship just went, hey, wait, let's go over there.
The big ship actually.
They've not been without their criticism.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, you know, ourselves included. For years, I've just, you know, I've struggled with this concept of not, first of all, not even being able to qualify because of all of their various criteria, which fair enough, right? You have to be a bigger organization with bigger capacity and more staff and more, you know, fee structure and everything. I get it.
Oh, so not 147, sorry, 147 to six programs.
Okay. Yeah. But it was like all of this time, I'd basically been told nobody gets on the Canada Council bandwagon unless somebody dies and gets off.
Well, so it was maybe a bit archaic.
Yeah.
Right. And I know from the publishing perspective, I have been very frustrated by this process, right?
Yeah.
So now it's, so they've made it very, even their, even the way they announce it is so like plain language and no nonsense. So it says what? So what is from 147 to six programs, more flexibility and impact, and simpler process.
Oh,
okay.
Simpler process would
yes,
be nice.
Yes, exactly. Like instead of a 3 week, like people don't understand these grants take weeks.
They
to do.
Yeah. And I've only done this twice. Yeah. And the first one that I did with that was the project grant for Cardiff Miller and I was turned down for. I figure, okay, that was 2.5 weeks of my work time.
Yes.
What did that cost the organization?
Oh, yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. So the opportunity cost is huge. Yeah. And then then they break it into why. I mean, maybe that's why we did the show this way because I was reading this morning. Why is because we heard you is what they said. And then they have a document called Conversations Toward Change. And then why is an inspired future for the arts. And what they're talking about there is the level of sophistication of Canadian arts and culture. Mm-hmm. And then it's ready for this next step.
Mm.
And then why is because art is serious business.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that page is all about, you know, the statistical and the metrics and you
economic
know,
data.
And then they talk about when, and for 2015, 2016, all current programs are still in effect. Mm-hmm. And then the fall of 2015, the release of the program details, the six, will come out. And 2016, they'll move to, hallelujah, a web-based grant application system. No more filling out those little
forms.
Gosh. Yeah, trying to fit your name. I have a big, long name. It's really hard to fit my name in those little boxes. And then 2017 is the launch of the program.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is aggressive and assertive and awesome.
That
I think
is. I don't know why, but my mind immediately went to, like, why on earth would the, you know, during a conservative government reign where they're usually trying to haul in the budgets of organizations like this, I wonder if it comes along with less money.
Well, it could be, but remember, Canada Council for the Arts is at an arm's length from government.
Yeah.
And
but they still rely on
the
allocation.
It's like church and state stuff. They do not interfere with each. You can't appeal. There's, you know,
I know, but the government sets their budget.
Yes. And I think they've committed to it a certain amount for a certain number of years. Mm. So they have a stable funding model. And that allows you to make brave decisions.
Yeah.
Like if you're always going back saying, please, sir, may I have some more?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to make a decision.
Yeah.
Whereas
it's
now,
hard to make structural changes.
Yes, exactly. So here I'd like to read from the fact sheet. Because this is huge.
Okay. Like, it's big. Yeah. You're right.
Canada has 137,000 professional artists.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That's almost 10 times the size of Seminar.
Hmm. That's pretty good.
Not quite, but almost. Arts and culture employ 671,000 Canadians.
Yeah. Well, 80,000 in BC alone.
Right?
I know that.
670,000. It's bigger than, well, bigger than Kelowna. Kelowna, yeah. Kamloops.
Yeah.
I don't actually know how big those cities
bigger
are.
Bigger than forestry.
Yeah. Big. Arts and culture contribute $50 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars to the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It really... Yeah. Is such a big deal. So art is serious business. And but it's also fun and meaningful.
It is.
And it makes me happy that they've done this. Because I, you know, I have, as I say, it's not that I haven't levied any criticism, because I have with them and with Industry Canada, and it's not a level playing field, and mm-hmm. you're not letting the new guys in, and this and that and the other thing. And you know, there must be a lot of that going on, because and I'm sure it's frustrating to be in a model that isn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're in it.
Yeah.
right?
Well, and like, I think that's happening with direct access provincially too.
So
their model isn't working, but they're trying to fix it from, I don't know what direction, but it seems to be a bit scattered right now, right?
Yeah.
And also at BC Arts Council, they're refitting the whole idea too. They're mm-hmm. restructuring grants. And so we're kind of in a holding pattern right now mm-hmm. while they figure out how they're going. So mm-hmm. maybe a lot of organizations are kind of looking to see what federal groups like Canada Council are doing in order to make
sure.
Yeah,
it's sort of like who's the first mover on this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would argue the first mover have been the little wee tiny mm-hmm. outfits. We're the first movers.
Yeah.
Like the mosquitoes going, ah, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's momentum, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, we are entering the sharing economy and we are in a digital age. So there's a lot of models that need to change and it's hard to catch up, but it's happening.
Yeah.
So
it is.
I'm so excited.
It is exciting. Yes. All right. I look forward to seeing the results of all of that. Yeah. Of course, we have to wait a few years, but it's still exciting and encouraging that those changes are happening.
So the program details will be out in the fall. That will be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm watching Twitter to see how the publishing world is reacting because I have a feeling they might be a bit afraid, but be not afraid.
Be not afraid. No. Hmm. Okay.
Speaking of not afraid, lots of fun things to not be afraid about.
Yeah. Well, yes. It's a big week for us. Now, we had this pretty extraordinary youth exhibition on in May. And I think it took us some, what was it? Like collectively about 70 hours to put it up.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was pretty enormous.
Wow.
And then it took...
I wouldn't know because I'm not there for that stuff.
Yeah.
But I believe you.
And it took us 7 hours to take it down.
Wow.
Which is still a long time.
That is a long time.
And then it took Eric like, his 8 hours yesterday filling holes and repainting.
Yes.
But anyway, so it was pretty massive. Now I'm very excited to go to a solo exhibition. Like, in fact, it makes me all happy and calm to think about presenting one artist.
Just one.
One artist with a selection of 45 works. Some of them are very little. Lynn Maxwell is showing a series called Soul Food. And Lynn is a writer and a photographer and a painter and a blogger and a traveler. And she has combined all of those things.
Wow. She's a lot of people in one.
She is. She has a lot of roles. She's a very gifted collage artist. So she has taken photographs of people. So all of these family gatherings, friends gathering over food, celebrations, and actually collaged their faces and painted their scenery, like their clothing, their background, their table of food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so it's really kind of interesting thing. Cause when I was really contemplating this, cause we always try to think, okay, what is this? What is the message, right? What is the meaning that a viewer will have when they walk into the gallery? So of course, for Lynn, her statement was about that familiar smiling faces feeling that we get when we're looking through old photographs,
yes,
right?
What
like,
is
oh,
that?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, yeah, what is that? That's the thing, right? What is that feeling?
Nostalgia. But it's, dopamine.
But how come we feel it when we see other people's photos?
Yes.
So it's kind of an interesting...
Well, it's a human experience, isn't it?
I guess it is. And the gathering, the concept of the gathering over food mm-hmm. is just universal. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's kind of what it's about. So anyway...
meaning for life.
Food. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Me too. I know. This Friday, June 5th, opening night.
Yes, it's her show.
7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Must be there.
Oh,
there will be food. There will be people.
There will be food.
So it'll be just
and smiling.
Yes,
and art.
Smiling.
What's not to love?
I know. Yeah. And there it is. Our cultural priorities.
Yeah.
So welcome everybody to that at the art gallery. This Friday, June 5th, and then her artist talk on June 18th.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then, of course, WOW is coming up very soon.
I know. A week today.
June 10th is the first WOW concert with
the
jazz
bands. A week
today,
Wednesday, live listening. If you're listening tomorrow, then it's
less than a week.
13 days.
Yeah.
No, 6 days.
Yeah.
13. Anyway. Blah, blah, blah. Where am I?
Anyway, and one more thing. I want to say happy birthday to my dad.
Aw.
It's a decade birthday.
Happy birthday. Yay.
Those decade birthdays are pretty important.
They are. And then speaking of giving, a very special thank you to Warren Welter. He gives so much to this community. He's a great mentor and he's given certainly me some great mentoring.
That's an excellent part of giving.
Yeah.
Oh man, we should talk about that sometime.
Pass it on.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Pass
it
on.
How it works.
Anyway. Because otherwise, how do we, not all of us can write an instruction book.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd rather mentor. Oh, that was a great show. Yes. Thank you there so much for listening today. We'll see you next time on Artscape. Remember that you can get events coming up on our website, salmonarmartcenter.ca.
All right. And we'll see you next week.
And remember, give from your heart. It feels good.
Mm-hmm, it does.